Well, a few months ago, when I was visiting Pastor Brian in the hospital, we were talking about possible studies that our church may consider. And one of the possible studies was how to profit from the teaching and preaching of God's Word. So I'd like to do that today and next week. And just a few more points. Some of you have listened to literally thousands of messages. I sat down and calculated for myself over the past 20 years, I've probably heard about 3,000 messages. As a matter of fact, I have about 22 notebooks from those messages loaded up, and yet, how much I have forgotten. How little have I applied. Yet, by God's grace, we, I trust, have laid hold of some. Maybe you're in the same boat as me. We've heard expositions of Bible books, entire books of the Bible, studies on Bible characters, surveys of Bible doctrines, encouragements, cordials, rebukes, and warnings. What if we took a quiz here this morning on Sunday school last week or on Bruce Ray's sermon? How would we do? What would we remember? Have I been changed by it? Have I dealt with a sin that God the Holy Spirit particularly put His finger on? Have I improved the truths that I've heard, taught, or preached? What about you? What about me? Have we improved on the treasure that we have received in the teaching and preaching of God's Word? I think we can only cry out, O Lord, forgive us. For we have forgotten so much and do so little. Stir up our hearts, Lord, to a greater love of You, of Your Word, and of Your Word preached and taught. I trust that You may be stirred up. That's the goal here, that we would be stirred to love God and His Word preached in a greater way. Well, I'd like to open up this topic under several heads. And they're all P's, P words to help us remember. Come prepared. Come with passion. Come with prayer. Come with praise. Come persuaded in faith. Come penitentially in repentance. Then go and ponder. Go and practice. And go and persevere in those things. Today, believe it or not, we're only going to look at the first two. They're the heaviest, I think, and I trust next week we'll have some brevity and conclude this study. So a few preliminary considerations. Number one, we depend upon the grace of God. For what do you have that you did not receive? We cannot, we will not profit except for the grace of God. We cannot sit down and buckle under and say, I'm going to profit from this message. Apart from the grace of God, we will not profit at all unless by the grace of God we enter in to the truths of Scripture. We depend upon the grace of God. Secondly, we depend upon the Spirit of truth. We depend upon the aid of the Holy Spirit to profit. For just as Jesus promised, He, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all the truth. We will despair if we have not the grace of God, if we have not the work of the Holy Spirit stirring us to lay hold of the truth. Third, our hearing must be united by faith. Words of Hebrews 3. For without faith, we know it is impossible to please Him. We must come in faith, and that will be a study next week. Fourth, teaching and preaching has been the MO, the modus operandi, through all of Bible history. Consider just a few: Noah, the preacher of righteousness, Samuel, Solomon, the preacher, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, John the Baptist, and of course the supreme example, Jesus Christ Himself, who, it is said, you can do a brief search how He taught. There's more about His teaching than even His preaching, but He did both. the apostles. We have the epistles from them. Stephen, Barnabas, Timothy, Epaphras, etc. All true teachers and preachers. That's what they were. That's the mode of operation throughout all history. Well, generally, what is this teaching and preaching? It's simply explaining and applying the scripture. I think we get it. Consider what I believe to be the greatest legacy of the Protestant Reformation. And if you were here on Reformation Day, you probably remember the great doctrine of sola scriptura. I believe that this is the greatest discovery that occurred during the Reformation. Without it, the others would have been lagging. Probably would not have even occurred. Sola scriptura, the scripture alone. And what was the fruit of this great doctrine, sola scriptura, that flowed from it? What came out of the Reformation was not only this doctrine, but the centrality of preaching. The centrality of teaching and preaching the scripture. It's one thing to hold to sola scriptura. It's another to come week by week and embrace the Word of God in this form of explanation. 6. Bible preaching and teaching is the main element of New Testament worship. There are several elements of biblical New Testament worship. We do them here each week. But biblical preaching and teaching is the central part of that. The central element of worship. Paul told Timothy to what? Preach the word. There's a lot in the pastorals, read them over, about preaching, about teaching, about holding to these truths and giving them to others who you have authority over. But when you read those words that Paul spoke to Timothy, preach the word, well, think of an implication. The implication is, hear the word. As Paul commanded Timothy to preach the word, he also commands us to hear the word. Therefore, listening to the word of God taught or preached is an act of worship. It's a sad thing in our day when you go to a church, supposedly, and they have the worship time and then the preaching. Well, that's a mistake. The Bible does not allow that. Singing is indeed worship, but so is the act of preaching and listening to it. Let us be convinced of that. And if you are ever in the case, you move away and you're looking for another church, may this be at the very top of your list. People come to churches for different reasons. May the top reason on your list be looking for a church that preaches the scripture. Now, I hope every church would say that. Now, the nuts and bolts are, do they do it each week? How much effort and time and significance is given to the teaching and preaching of Scripture? As you've heard us say before, one of the reasons our church has the name Pilgrim Bible Church is because they and we want that to be our middle name, Bible. We want to be about the preaching of the Word of God and the listening. I mean, if you're standing here preaching alone, what good would that be? It's a package. There's an interchange between the speaker and the listener. It is worshiping God. And I think if we lay hold of that truth, it will affect us how we come each week. We're not here just listening to a lecture like in school or college. This is worship. Do we see it that way? Do you see what you're doing right now as worshiping God? May we see it even more. And finally, there's a warning. Dullness in hearing is a mark of God's judgment. John read it today in Isaiah 6. It's always amazing how God orchestrates things. But Jesus quotes Isaiah 6 over in Matthew 13. Please follow along in Matthew 13. Verse 10 through 17. Dullness in hearing is a mark of God's judgment. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables, to the Jews?" And he answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But he who does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.'" The warning here is, if we listen with dullness, it could be a mark of God's judgment. To listen to God's word read or preached or explained, maybe it's not just here, maybe it's in your family devotions. Don't be dull. Maybe it's in your own devotions. If we're dull, that's serious business, to be dull at the reading, the studying, the preaching and listening of God's word. Paul quotes the same passage over in Acts 28. He applies it again to the Jews. It's a significant passage. It's a warning of how we listen. When you come now, are you coming in dullness? Well, what are some ways we can avoid that dullness? First, come prepared. A good Boy Scout motto, be prepared. Come prepared. We prepare for many things in life. Interviews, work meetings, college exams, your test that you're taking at home, potlucks. What would happen if you didn't prepare for those things? Well, we wouldn't eat after the service today. If you had an interview and you came in there sloppy and ill-prepared, you probably won't get the job. Going on the camping trip, I recently pulled out my list from last year's camp. I have a list of things to take. What if I didn't have that list? And maybe you do this, but you just get up the day you're going to the camp and say, "We're gone. We don't even think about it." You're going to run into trouble. We prepare for many things. How much more ought we to prepare to come to worship God, lest we have dullness in hearing? Our culture and many churches, I believe, have abused the free access we have to God through Christ. How so? Well, you hear it in songs such as, "Come just as you are to worship." Well, there's an element of truth there. We don't have to improve ourselves to come to God. We're coming in Christ alone. And yet, might that not lead us astray into a sloppiness? Just come as you are, willy-nilly, thoughtlessly, not caring about what you're about to do. Do you really come just as you are? Well, in a sense, yes, but in a sense, definitely not. You just roll out of bed at the last second, fly in the car 100 mile an hour down the road, come in here in your pajamas? Of course not. There's a certain preparation. We ought to come prepared. We're coming to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we don't prepare for that, well, what are we doing? Pray. We're going to have a whole section about this next week, but pray for yourself as you are preparing to come. Pray for the day, the Lord's day. Pray for the one ministering the word or teaching. Pray for the brethren. Pray for the children of your brethren. In some church covenants or church constitutions, when you join, You promise that you will pray for the members of that church as well as their children. Pray for your children. Pray for the children of others who come. It's difficult for them. Pray for the unconverted, all of them, whatever age, whatever type of person they are. Remember, the Puritans called the Lord's Day the market day of the soul. It's a great picture. It's a great enticement to come and seek the grace of God. Do we view it in this way? Read and study the text of Scripture ahead of time. Now, you know that if you're a regular attender, you receive the email of what we're going to study each week. What a great opportunity. And when we're in a consecutive exposition, you know where we're going to be. Read those passages ahead of time. If it's a topic, get out a Bible encyclopedia and study it. Prepare yourself. Read the text ahead of time. Write down some of your own thoughts and questions. It doesn't have to be a huge Bible study. It can be brief. If you have more time, great. I love the proverb 24:27. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then, build your house. Prepare your work outside. Prepare it. Make it ready. The ants also in Proverbs are said to prepare their food in the summer. You will profit if you prepare. Young people, singles, you have a little more time on your hands. I hope you would use it well. Now is the time. You have a freedom. If you're single, you don't have the what I like to call the holy distraction of a spouse. You don't have that responsibility. You have more time on your hands to study. You have more time to prepare. Prepare your work outside. Store up wisdom for the future. Build your spiritual or theological house now. Don't put it off till you're an adult in your 20s or 30s. Be building your spiritual or theological house now. Prepare it now so that when God brings you your spouse, you've thought through a lot of things. You're prepared. You're prepared, young men, to be a spiritual leader because you've been diligent in the Word and preparing for worship and profiting from the Word most of your life. Get all you can, any of us, from the pulpit. Milk it for all it's worth. Those of you who may aspire to the Christian ministry, master what you hear on Sunday mornings. Master it. Build on it. And then one day you will be able to minister to others. I'm not against seminary, but one of the greatest God-given seminaries is the local church. The preaching and teaching ministry of the local church. If churches are preaching the Scripture week after week, year after year, you will eventually get basically a seminary education. You may not get Greek and Hebrew or some of the other specifics, but a well-rounded ministry that preaches the whole counsel of God will fit you for much usefulness. But if we're unprepared each week and we're sloppy about it, we will not profit. We will not be ready. We will not be prepared for the future. I encourage you, young men who aspire to missions, to the eldership, be diligent. Listen. Come prepared. Go home and make the most of these opportunities. And of course, it's not just for those. It's for all of us. All of us should be storing up the truth for future needs. Don't slip into that trap that, well, that sermon doesn't apply to me. That's not something I'm dealing with. Well, you may need it yet in the future. Store it up. Put it in your brain. Work it into your life so that when the time comes, you'll be ready. Maybe it's not just for you. Maybe it's to give to someone else. Maybe it's for your children. Maybe it's for your spouse. Maybe it's for your friend. Maybe the truth that you learned today is not necessarily for you, but it's for something you can give to someone else. Store it up in your memory. Lay hold of it. We love that proverb, buy the truth and sell it not. Own it. Make it yours. And we have an opportunity every week when there's a teacher here, whether in Sunday school, worship, and God willing, one day an evening service again. You have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to learn the truth. What a blessing. What the market day of the soul. What a greater, wonderful blessing that we can gather for these hours to look more specifically into the scripture, to think more directly about God. It's like a spiritual fasting. We're putting aside everything else. We have this day, these hours to come together to consider the truth of God. We ought to rejoice at that. And I hope it's not, and this is not meant to lay an unnecessary burden on your back. This is meant to encourage you to embrace the truth in a greater way. Practically, get to bed on Saturday night at a good hour. Guard your activities so that they do not encroach on Sunday, the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. George Swinock, the Puritan, and they were great on this topic, said in preparing Saturday, "The oven of thine heart thus baked, as it were, overnight, would be easily heated the next morning. The fire so well raked up when thou wentest to bed would be the sooner kindled when thou shouldst rise. If thou wouldst thus leave thy heart with God on Saturday night, thou shouldst find it with him in the Lord's day morning." If you put little effort in, God may be pleased in his grace to meet with you. And that's his character of graciousness. But we do not presume. We ought to prepare our hearts Saturday night. Maybe with your family, read over the text. With your spouse, with your children, kneel down and pray and look forward to God's blessing on these hours. These are, as we've said many times, the nearest approximation of heaven. This is delightful. This is precious time that we have to look in to the truth of God's word, to seek his face, to worship him. Turn over to Ecclesiastes 5, which Brian preached on, and I went back and enjoyed reviewing his notes just this week. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7. If you don't know what to read before the service or Saturday night, go back to this passage. Go back to it again and again and again. It's wonderful. It's a sermon in itself on preparing for this very task. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7. "Guard your steps as you go to the house of God, and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it. For he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Do not let your speech cause you to sin. And do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry on account of your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in many dreams and in many words there is emptiness, there is vanity. Rather, fear God." What a great summary for almost any sermon. Fear God. Guard your steps. Guard your Saturday nights. Guard your Sunday mornings. The devil has a particular way to attack families. I know. Kids aren't obeying. There's problems galore. Usually the toilet overflows Sunday morning. Things happen. The devil is at work distracting us. Maybe it's due to our own laziness. We should have took care of something the night before. Guard your steps. Guard them. And there are many applications. Bridges said, Charles Bridges, and if you have that volume, I encourage you to read it on this text. He's excellent. He said, oh, it's awful to trifle at the church door. When we come together Sunday morning, when you come in here, beware of trifling. Focus. We are here to worship God. Let's not trifle. This isn't a club. This is a church to worship Jesus Christ. Let us beware of trifling with the things of God. Playing. Coming here for other motives other than worshiping Him. Even good things can get into the first spot. We cannot allow it. We must guard our steps. What is my motive for coming? Why am I here today? Do not let good motives push out the best motive, let alone wrong motives. Be here for the right motives. If your motive's wrong, correct it. Repent. Prepare with the right motive. Come to hear God's voice. Not the eloquent or the poor preacher, but to hear God's voice as His word is opened in truth. That's our desire. We're not here to share our own thoughts, I trust. We want to hear what God's word says. What are the principles of Scripture? Come to worship God. Come to get grace to better serve Him. When you come Sunday morning, be prompt. I know it's hard. Many of you drive a very long way. Large families, it's difficult. It's better to come late than not at all. But with God's help, let us seek to be prompt. And when you do come, it's great to visit with our brothers and sisters. We don't see each other usually all the week, many of us. But consider taking a few minutes before whoever's leading comes up here. Consider taking some time and sitting down, opening your Bible, praying, bowing your heart to seek His face. We have wonderful fellowship time to follow. Maybe we could possibly reform in that area a bit. Come and quiet our hearts. Again, I don't want to be legalistic. I don't want to add a law that God has not added. But if we're coming to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, couldn't we spend just 2 minutes in quiet prayer and opening up the Word, maybe reviewing last week's message? Preparing your heart to worship God. For those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Those few minutes before we begin are sort of like when you're going north to Canada and you see that sign, last exit before the border. It's your last opportunity. If you didn't prepare all week, take those moments to prepare. Confess your sins. Confess the sins of that morning, of that week, that last night that were not confessed. Confess your own dullness, your own scatterbrainedness. If you're like me, it happens. It's the last exit before you cross the border. We're coming into the throne room. Remember, this is not a club. This is not just a school of intellect. We are here to worship God Almighty. And anything less is unacceptable. It is sin. Again, to quote Pastor Brian Pollock, when we enter here Sunday morning, the judge is here. We need to have a holy hush. We see it many times in the Scripture. When someone sees God, they have a holy hush. They put their hand over their mouth. There are no words like the fool in Ecclesiastes 5. There is a holy hush, a silence. Of preparing to meet our God. We love to see each other. But we love all the more to see our great God, do we not? We want to see Him in His glory as He would proclaim His name to us. We see an example of this in the book of Acts. Turn over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. There was the vision of Cornelius and Peter coming to Caesarea. And he knew that he was coming. Cornelius did of Peter. In chapter 10 of Acts, verse 33, listen to this. This is excellent. It's a goal that we would have for ourselves. And so I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded of the Lord. Now, we are all here present before God. Before God, in the face of God, coram Deo. We're not here just before each other's faces. We are here to see and to meet God. To hear all that you have been commanded of the Lord. God uses we cracked and broken vessels in our weakness to proclaim His excellencies. It's beyond our finding out. This has been called an atmosphere for preaching. There's a certain amount of energy, if you will, of people. When you look out, believe me, when you're up here and you look out and you see that people want to hear what God's saying. They want to meet God. They want to walk with Him. They want to hear the truth of Scripture. I believe God is most glorified in that context. And may we, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen here at all. I'm saying let us excel still more, that we would come and stand and sit before the face of God to hear all that He commanded by the mouths of His servants. May that be a motto of our worship. When we gather, are we aware that God is present with His church in a special way? I sought to bring this truth home in our last study on the seven churches, the surveillance of Christ. Christ is among us, walking, surveilling. He is present. The judge is present. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are present with His people in might, in power. Let us long to hear all that He commanded as His word is taught and preached. Let us come with reverence. I love Psalm 2:11. Rejoice with trembling. It's not an either or. It's not that we just come to rejoice. That's great. It's not just that we come trembling. Rejoice with trembling. There's this strange mixture of feelings, of sensibilities in us. There's this exultant joy and praising, but there's also this reverence that this is God Almighty. We need that recipe of rejoicing with trembling. May we never forget who we are coming to worship. Now, if you've been discouraged, I hope not. Maybe you say, I came unprepared today. I'm unprepared right now. Well, in honesty, it's happened to all of us. It's happened to me. It's happened to you. We've come not prepared. Yet how many times has our Lord God been gracious? Don't despair. If you're not prepared, don't stay home. Don't go home when you get here and turn around and drive home. Come and seek Him right away. He is gracious. Don't let your unpreparedness keep you back from seeking His face. Call out to Him, Lord, I'm unprepared. Forgive me. He is gracious. He receives sinners. He receives saints who have stumbled. Because who among us is prepared as we ought to be? Who among us has the high thoughts of God that we should have? No one. So let's be clear about that. Don't be discouraged to the point of staying home. Please. That's not what He wants, and that's not at all what I'm seeking to say today. Well, come prepared. Well, let us look secondly, and we'll conclude under the topic of come with passion. Come with passion. Again, it's the opposite of coming with dullness. If we come in dullness, we don't have passion for God and His Word. And also, when you're coming, you may have a visiting speaker like we did last week. You may have John or myself or someone else. Remember, you're not coming to hear a man. You're coming to hear the truth of God. That wraps up your passion, because men will fail you, but God will not. Make sure your passion is about God. And this is illustrated perfectly in Paul's words to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. And for this reason, we, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, that is, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Now, there's a fine line here. We're not saying that the preacher, everything that he says is the word of God. But as much as the truth of God is opened up, it is the word of God. It is the truth of God. For as John said just 2 weeks ago, I believe, when Scripture speaks, God speaks. If the Scripture is opened up in truth, that is God's Word going forth. An explanation of God's Word in accuracy is the Word of God. These Thessalonians heard it that way, not just from the apostles, but from the elders that were appointed, Silvanus and Timothy. When the congregation at Thessalonica heard Timothy stand up to preach, they just didn't hear Timothy's thoughts. They didn't hear Timothy sharing his feelings or his opinions or even his logic. They heard God's message for what it really is, the Word of God. That's profound. And pray for the speaker, because it is the most humbling thing that we, somehow, by God's mightiness, would speak the truth of God. Are you receiving it? Do you receive the message in this way? As much as the truth of God is preached here, do you receive it as from God Himself? Packer refers to letting texts talk. Letting the text talk. So listeners should be all ears to hear God's voice. Today, if you hear His voice, each week, do not harden your hearts. Listen to the voice of God. Remember, it's not a discussion. It is the voice of God. It is the Word. It is the message from God. It's not enough just to attend, just to sit here. We need to do that at least, but that's not enough. For beware of the attendance without attention, in the words of Bridges. Attendance without attention. You need to attend, but you also need to be attentive. You need to listen. You need to put your ears on. Use your mind. Hear with your heart. Don't become an emotionless robot, just another warm body filling the seats. That won't work. You need to have passion. We need to have passion as we come to listen to God's Word taught and preached. Instead of being emotionless, we ought to be attentive, engaging the speaker with your eyes. I love it when I see you looking at me and there's a what some have called sort of a spiritual transaction The words are going out, and sometimes it's as if I'm even watching and listening myself to the truth of God. There's an interaction of the truth of God going out and circulating amongst us. And by your very eyesight, it can be seen. By the nods of your heads, the affirmations, the body language. The nodding and affirmation, not nodding and sleepiness, which I'm thankful I don't see today. Have some expression. When the preacher looks out and sees expressionless faces, he's not sure what's going on. God created us as beings that are passionate. Are we passionate for Him and for His truth? There's a certain amount of that that comes out in the body language, the expression on the face, the smile, the frown, the convicting frown, or the verbal amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We ought not to be sort of robotic automatons with no feeling. Yes, we believe that we engage the intellect, the mind. The mind must govern the passions and the emotions. But if we have zero passion, if we have just a cold heart, and we're just going to ramble off some confession with no feeling, we're not going to profit from the Word of God, from hearing the Word, if we are dull and dead and robotic in our listening. And of course, it may not need to be said, but have your Bibles open. Follow along. Getting it sometimes in the ear and the eye, it's sort of a double blessing. Take notes when practical. And the same with holding your Bible. It's not for everyone, and I get that. I understand it. But taking notes can be quite profitable. Because sometimes we forget what we've heard. We can go home and review it even years later. How profitable to go back 20 years and look at a sermon. We probably forgot everything we heard that day, but it's recorded in our notebook, and it's a blessing. Now, parents, I'm not seeking to condemn you, because I remember when I first came to Pilgrim Bible Church, and my son was 10 months old, and I was the fervent note taker for years, and I had to come to the position of responsibility that I need to hold my son. He's 10 months old, so the notebook went in the bag and didn't come back for many months. Maybe that's your case. Maybe you have one or two kids on your lap, and you can't, and so that's fine. But maybe there will be a day where you will have the opportunity, if it's profitable for you. Some people, it may distract them more than help, so just a suggestion. There are many distractions as we come. Most of them are right here and here. We have many distractions, many thoughts that would creep in, what Derek Kidner calls mental doodling. I hope you don't doodle in the service on your note paper. I hope you have good sermon notes. But sometimes we mentally doodle, thinking about work tomorrow, and I got to do this for my mom, and I got to do this for the kids, or I'm thinking about the sporting activity or whatever. Say no to those thoughts when they come in. The Puritans wrote entire books on remedy for wandering thoughts in corporate worship. There are helps out there. If we're serious again about worshiping God, we will be serious how we listen. Beware of looking around and seeing what others are doing. It can happen. That's why I try to get near the front, because I know if I'm in the back, there's more temptations. But if we again are prepared and we're doing business with God and we're coming to worship Him with joy and trembling, that's going to help us no matter where you sit. Not everyone has to. We can't all sit in the front. But again, coming with the motive to hear God's voice. And I think as we come with that, nothing will stop us. Sometimes there's petty issues. Maybe it's the music, how someone's singing. You don't like the tune of the hymn, the deer walking by, whatever. If you are focused on God, nothing is going to stop you. And have that mindset. I am here to do business with God, and nothing by the grace of God is going to stop me. Come with that mindset. That's how you'll find Him. Peter Lewis, in his excellent book, The Genius of Puritanism, said that the Puritan congregation possessed the sermons. Take these sermons with the help of God and mull them over. Chew them up. Go home. Think about them. Dwell on them. Own them for yourselves. And you will profit. Take the example. Again, we heard it this morning from Acts 17:11, the Bereans. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, who we actually heard about, heard the word of God as His word. But the Bereans were more noble-minded, for they received the word with great eagerness. They were not dull. They were not dull listeners, willy-nilly, oh, here he goes again. No, they were greatly eager to receive the word, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. This eagerness with great, with the highest degree of willingness, readiness, or zeal. I love zeal. We all need more biblical zeal. And what greater act to have zeal in than coming to worship God? Come with zeal. Don't come lukewarm, dull. Come with zeal. With passion to worship Him in the hearing of His word. Do you receive it that way? Do you receive the word of God with zeal? Don't be zealous to critique the preacher's style too much. I appreciate criticisms, but take the warning of Bridges again. It's not the nice adjustment of the balances to determine the little proprieties of the preacher's tone, gesture, emphasis, or attitude, as if it was of little moment what he speaks, if he only speaks in good taste. We don't want to be distracting to you by our manners or our lack thereof. Don't let those things distract you as well. We're beginners. Look to God and worship Him. Children, maybe you're tired by now. I've went long, I know. Children, I know it's hard for you to listen. I have two kids myself, and sometimes I wonder if they're listening at all. Children, plead with God to help you. Plead with Him. Help me, Lord, to listen. Help me to sit still. Get out your Bible. You can prepare too. Even the smallest child. If your parents agree, maybe you can take notes or write down a few words from the message or how many times the preacher says a certain word. Even the younger ones could draw a picture, if they can't write yet, of the sermon. Again, if your parents allow. Children, again, I am concerned. I'm concerned that because sometimes I see the gospel seed spread out, but it's quickly eaten up by the birds of playtime. Immediately following the service, my own children included, their first thought is to run to the playground. Now, I'm not saying that running to the playground is sinful, or that playing is sinful, or visiting with your friends is sinful at all. But I'm concerned for you children, because it is a temptation of children to want to play and visit with their friends more than seeking God. We want you in this service, children. Your parents want you here. We want you here. We want you to listen. We want you to pay attention. I know it's hard. Again, ask God to help you. Don't just think about, oh, is he soon out of here? Because we're going out to that playground. We're going to get our toys. It's a trap. It's not wrong to play with your toys and visit with your friends. But if that's all you're thinking about in the sermon, that is wrong. Even children can and ought to worship God. Don't let the devil or anyone tell you, oh, that's just for the big people. God speaks to children as well. And children can prepare and seek to listen. And I plead with you, the smallest, seek to worship God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember to listen to the preacher. You have an opportunity from your new birth years to hear so much. Even if you're not a Christian, listen. How shall they hear without a preacher? You have an opportunity for salvation. You have an opportunity to store up the truth of God for another day. Please, children, don't just think of playing all through the service. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon His name. Draw near to Him. And this is a grand opportunity. I know it's not easy, but He is able to help the youngest. Please seek Him. Our desire is to prepare to hear God's Word through its explanation, through its interpretation, through its application, to prepare for that and to prepare and to come with passion, so that we might be better disciples of Jesus Christ, learning all that He commanded you. Remember what He told the apostles to do? Go and preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them all that I commanded you. That's what we're seeking to do, to teach the word of Christ each week. And it's the rest of our lives on this earth, the nearest approximation of heavenly glory, dwelling amidst the truth of God being opened up, the scriptures being preached. Let us conclude with the quote from Richard Baxter. Come not to hear with a careless heart, as if you were to hear a matter that little concerned you, but come with a sense of unspeakable weight, necessity, and consequence of the holy word which you are to hear. And when you understand how much you are concerned in it, it will greatly help your understanding of every particular truth. Make it your work with diligence to apply the word as you are hearing it. Cast not all upon the minister, as those that would go no further than they are carried as by force. You have to work to do as well as the preacher. You have to work to do as well as the preacher, and should all the time be as busy as he. You must open your mouths and digest it, for another cannot digest it for you. Therefore, be all the while at work, and abhor an idle heart in hearing, as well as an idle minister. Would you want a minister to come ill-prepared, willy-nilly? I've just got a few random thoughts. I don't even bring notes. You wouldn't be so happy. Come prepared. Chew the cud and call it up. Call up all when you go home in secret. And by meditation, preach it over to yourselves. If it were coldly delivered by the preacher, do you preach it more earnestly to your own hearts? It's easy. You're always going to find faults with the preacher. I know. I find them in myself. Go home and preach it better to yourself. Go home and chew up the truths that were even feebly brought forth. That we would come to worship God in the teaching and preaching of this book, the Holy Scriptures. Let us pray. Our Father, we confess our great need of You. We confess far too often we are dull of hearing. We are dead as doorknobs. Lord, forgive us, cleanse us, and stir us up unto great zeal for You, that we would have a right passion, that we would have our minds renewed according to the Scripture, that we'd be like the Thessalonians, Lord, who heard the word, but spoken from men, but they knew it was Your word, Lord. And Father, like those Bereans who heard with eagerness, Lord, may Pilgrim Bible Church excel still the more in eagerness of hearing Your word. Father, help us to hold all things in tension. Help us to go away doing, not only hearing. Lord, sanctify this study for Your glory, to the good of Your people, to the salvation of souls, even in this place. Help us guard our children. Lord, guard them as they go to play today, that the evil one would not steal the seed sown. Have mercy upon us for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.